cliffcentral.com.
This is fantastic. I love it.
Here we are. We're with you this morning. Been the shortest week. You know, it really feels like we only worked 3 days this week. I don't know why that happened. I have no idea what happened this week. It's all just disappeared in a blur. Do you ever wake up and you don't remember, like, it's not a blackout, like, drinking thing. You don't remember what you did the night before. And then you really have to think hard about what happened. I suppose it has to do with just being tired or getting a lot of stuff done or whatever. But I woke up this morning. I was like, what the hell did I do last night? Because I went to I went with Anthea Gardner to talk to a whole bunch of girls and their moms at Saints about hashtag invest and, you know, how I wish someone had spoken to me when I was at school. Mm. I might have not been such an idiot and I might have had money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Well, more money in the bank. I mean, wouldn't that have been nice if someone had told you about the power of compound interest in investing when you were a kid?
Very exactly.
Yeah, so we went and did this. Well, you all sound so enthusiastic about
no,
it.
No, I just mean, because we feel, say it's
no.
Despondent.
Exactly.
Well, I know because I'm frustrated, Gary.
Yeah, we feel
I
exactly.
I didn't start this early.
All right,
we feel exactly the same as you do.
What
really?
Do we do? Be happy about this.
Yay, I missed the boat. Yay.
Yeah, this is Ben when I said, hey, morning, Ben.
You're a pussy about Birmingham.
So anyway, we go from that, and then we had the premiere of the Life movie with Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds, and a lot of people thought Ben was Ryan Reynolds. Did you get that impression? Because one woman walked up and said, "Oh my God, you're here!
Oh wow,
to Ben!" And usually that happens to me. And I said, "No,
Jesus.
I said no, it's Ben. It's not. It's not Ryan Reynolds. He sometimes gets mistaken."
And then
for
she
it.
Went,
"She went, and she just ignored him and walked past.
Shoulders me
In
out
fact,
of the way.
I think she went to the toilet after that. She was like, "I got nothing to say to this guy."
Anticlimactic.
Yeah. Anyway, I woke up this morning and then it took me a while to kind of remember what I had on the agenda. But today's Friday and cliffcentral.com will be coming to you live from Sexpo after 9 o'clock.
Ooh.
Yeah, 2 hours of the comedy show with Dave Levinson and then 2 hours of sex talk with Jonty Soul.
Jonty's going deep today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
That should make you very nervous. Jonty wasn't at the movie last night, and I made a joke when Sia and I went up to welcome everybody to say, you know, just be careful that no one does the popcorn trick to you. But Jonty, I found out, doing a bit of research on the internet last night, Jonty Searle's actually the guy who invented the popcorn trick. Did you know that?
What do you mean?
Hold up now.
You know what the popcorn trick is?
Yes.
I just learned this last night, though.
No, Sia, really?
Honestly, when you guys referenced it, I had to sort of learn.
Really?
On the move, yeah.
Mubs, do you want to explain to him what the popcorn trick is?
As far as I know, the popcorn trick is when a strategic hole is cut into the bottom of the popcorn box.
Yeah.
Then the box is placed on an erect member. Uh-huh. And the gentleman in question will then offer the lady beside him popcorn.
But he'll say to her, oh, just reach your hand in.
Yes, yeah. Just dip your hand in there. And then the lady will get a surprise.
Right.
This is all in theory, right?
Surprise.
People don't do this.
Well, yeah, it's in theory because in function it doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Here's the problem with it. If you do it, all the salt on the popcorn is going to shrivel and hurt your penis. Mm. I don't think it's going to work.
And also, what kind of a gentleman would not buy the lady her own popcorn?
Well, I was just thinking.
Sorry, I've ruined this, haven't I?
I was thinking of the grab action as well. Then it's no, just no.
I know you're thinking you can't get any wrist leverage. You're right, Sia.
What do you mean?
Exactly.
Jonty Searle invented this trick that I've only ever seen in Hollywood movies.
No, he invented it. Jonty's been around forever.
Oh my gosh.
He knows a lot. Don't you ever underestimate that guy. I mean, there's a reason that we gave him the sex talk show. There were plenty of people who wanted to do it.
Jonty's like the Dalai Lama of sex. He's a vessel. And at the moment, he is just the...
He's incarnated in his most creepy form of all.
Yeah.
There we go.
This is his theme music, by the way. That shouldn't creep you out at all.
When Jack the Ripper was murdering prostitutes, Jonty was still there, like, consoling all the other women, going, it's okay.
That's the term I knew I'd hear today. Jonty Searle being the Dalai Lama of sex.
He kind of is. I mean, I know a lot of people love and listen to that show, which you should if you haven't heard it before. It's a great show. But really, Jonty is, it's fascinating. It's fascinating what happens over there. They I don't know what they're going to do at Sexpo today, but they're live there for 2 whole hours, and so is the comedy show.
Yeah, but Jonty's a celeb at things like this, right? So he'll be bringing in all kinds of weird and wonderful guests coming in. Somebody will probably drop to their knees at some stage. Yeah, it's Jonty and Sexpo.
Right.
Remember, I think it was 2 years ago, we went there, and he was there. And he sort of just hovers around, like he's got this aura about him.
Well, he's there. He does a lot of stuff isn't necessarily related to sex. Apparently, some of the stuff that he's been doing is more around health and helping people to kind of discover. Because, you know, there are a lot of very uptight people in the world. Then maybe this is a good thing to start with on a Friday morning. I don't really have an agenda today. I'm sure you don't either. You just want to get to the fun. The weekend starts shortly, right?
Yeah.
So what Jonty does, and I'm going to be serious about him for 5 seconds, and then we can go back to, like, talking about how creepy he is. There are a lot of people in South Africa who are very uptight about sex. What you got to remember is that here, because you listen to us on a podcast, or you've got your headphones on, you listen to us live, but it's a private experience, right? So we can share stories and all that kind of thing. A lot of people, that's fine, but the minute they're sitting in company, they clam up. They don't want to talk about this stuff. They're very conservative about sex. They're worried about what other people think of them. They're nervous to be called sluts or whores or playboys or players. It's not always easy for people to be very honest about this stuff.
Mm.
But what you've got to realize, and even the most uptight conservative people in the world, they think about sex. Because that's what we're designed to do. We are biological animals, and our DNA is instructing us every day that it wants to make more of itself. You can't stop that. You've got hormones. You've got stimulation in the environment. And what Jonty's doing, he's telling people that's okay. You know, you're meant to feel that way. And then, of course, he tries to, you know, finger you as you walk past and stuff. But that's separate.
That's like after the session is over.
Didn't he provide invaluable, useful advice and support for you, Ben, when you were buying a sex toy for Daniela?
Yeah, he told me where to go, who to talk to, what to look for.
Right. I mean, you wouldn't just get that from anybody. You need an expert.
Yeah, well, look, you can get that from lots of people, but who do you trust? See, when Jonty says it, you go, yeah, okay.
All right, how was the movie? Because I didn't stay. I had to make sure. I had to give Anthea a lift to the one thing, and then because she hadn't put petrol in her car, then I had to take her back to her car, so I couldn't stay for the movie.
Oh, man.
It was good?
You're
frightening.
Folks, I just...
Don't spoil anything.
No. That's what I'm trying not to. There was a lot going on there. You know, like one of those edge of your seat moments. I feel like I always say this when it comes to the movies we screen, but it really is. It's a lot to take in.
Did you scream?
Everyone screamed.
Are you kidding?
Everyone
really?
Screamed. And the thing is, I wouldn't say it's a horror. It just requires some thought into what's about to happen.
So it's a psychological thriller. Then.
No, not even. It's very sci-fi, but not over your head sci-fi. There's so many twists and turns, and let me not spoil it, but let's go down to the premise of how we've been talking about the movie. About the fact that this crew are together, they go out in space.
I'm sorry, I've stopped listening. I just picture, I walked in, I got to the cinema, and Sia is sitting at the table, like, the king of England.
Which is true, right. I was.
And he's got his was a leather jacket?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got his leather jacket draped over his shoulders, and he's sitting there looking at people disparagingly saying to them, are you really on the list? You know, you would be the best, like, judge in the world outside that. You know that club idea I always had about beautiful and ugly?
Yes.
Where you'd only let the beautiful people into beautiful and the ugly people would have to go into ugly, but they'd get their drinks at half price. Mm-hmm. And then at midnight, you'd let some of the uglies into the beautiful club.
Oh, shame. But I'm not that mean.
I think you can be.
I'm not mean at
I think you can be.
We're all nice.
So he's sitting there and he's looking very judgmental at everyone. No. You are. And then he comes down the stairs like Cleopatra to introduce the movie. And he stands there in front of everybody. And
when did I become Cleopatra again?
No, it's good. It's good. Don't worry. It's all good.
Okay.
You know what? It's such a rare thing to see someone with so much confidence. And, you know, I have to keep reminding myself, you're only, what, 21, 22?
22 now. Mm,
you're a baby.
You know, when he walked
Jesus,
in this...
I was such an awkward...
Yeah,
right, Mubs? I was so awkward at your age. I was such a useless. I was lanky. I looked like a stick insect. I my head was lolling around like a bladder on a stick. I was nervous and self-conscious. I hated the way I looked. My hair was shit. It was just, the whole thing was just shit. No. God, I hated myself once. I really did. I mean, not that I love myself now. I still have problems. But I mean, I can walk into a room and I accept who I am. It took me a long time. You got there a lot earlier than most people.
I was on the job, though. I'm just there to do my job and I leave afterwards. He says, ever so humbly, that's all it was.
Well, take the compliment.
Thank you.
Asshole.
I'll say thank you, but there's no need for it in any case. But do you know who can give you the best review of this movie? Balesa, actually.
Oh, really? Well, when she comes in, we'll ask her. Did she scream?
She's already in.
Oh, she
here.
Hear it?
Yeah.
Balesa, do you mind coming in here? I know she hates being on air.
And I sat next to her. And if you think I have an issue with being frightened, I've never heard someone pray in the middle of a movie. And you know when you pray in vernac and you can't even muster up English anymore.
Yeah,
Balesa,
yeah.
You know it's deep.
Did you shit yourself in the movie? Tell us the truth.
No, I didn't.
What happened?
Yeah. No, that movie was a mess. The whole movie, everything was great from the beginning till the end. It was just, I don't know.
Do you not normally like scary movies? Do you try to stay away from them?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And I thought, okay, this looks interesting, space stuff. They're probably going to, find a new planet. I don't know.
I mean, we had Prof Block on yesterday, so we were all thinking about that stuff.
Yeah,
sure.
That's going to be fun. You, when I went there, oh my God, Kelvin. Kelvin is the worst person.
So you can't read who or what Kelvin is.
No, don't say
it. Okay. Yeah,
oh my God, there's an entity?
It's,
gosh.
They discover life in space.
And
exactly, yeah.
So you actually started praying.
Yeah, mid movie, I was like, oh my God. Started praying in tongues.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was that deep for her.
Sure.
That deep. Oh,
that
yeah.
Some hectic stuff.
Looking away from the screen, screaming, you know, bobbing up and down in your chair, almost like holding God. Onto herself.
But listen, we shouldn't have you go to these movies. I mean, we should choose happy movies for you.
Yeah, please. Okay. I'm no more going to these scary movies. God. I don't care how interesting it looks. I'm never going. This was the first and the last time.
Sounds terrifying. All right.
Yeah. That's a movie review
as
per
Balesa. Okay.
Life.
Okay. Yes, sis.
Next month, we're doing something lighter. So, and that's the good news as well. We're going to start doing these on a monthly basis, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. And, nice. You know, we give away the tickets for free kind of to our Cliff Central family. So if you've listened to us for a long time, you know that we try to throw in a reward every now and then for being a part of the team. And it's just cool because a lot of them, unfortunately, we have to do in Joburg because that's where we've got the cinemas available and all that kind of thing. But we will try to spread them around the country as we keep doing them and, you know, as they become more popular. But we sell them out in a matter of one morning. So,
oh, yeah.
And you don't have to pay. We give them away for free. We want you to come and enjoy the show. Yeah. Ben told me, and he's been very cryptic about this, Ben told me that he was attacked when he got home yesterday. What happened?
Well, see, the movie, I cut my losses thinking I'm not going to stay here till 11. I want to go home, watch the golf, have some tea, you know, because it's the WGC at the moment.
You stayed, all right. Mm.
Okay. So I left just before it started. Mm-hmm. And then I got home and I did. I watched golf, I had some tea, Meowsers was chilling with me, and I went to bed at a respectable hour. Then, around midnight last night, I was deep asleep, right? Deep asleep. Out of nowhere, my head is on fire. I'm in absolute pain. Like, I feel like I've just been absolutely attacked. So I think I'm dreaming. Like, I'm so deep asleep, I think I'm having a really strange dream. But then it's like, well, hang on a second, that's a human pain. So I turn the lights on, and I've got blood, like, on my head, my arm, my hand.
Oh, my gosh.
Somehow, I don't know what happened again. Either Meows has had a night terror, or I rolled on her or something.
No,
she attacked me.
She is trying
that's the moment.
To take you out.
So where is your... Where are you? See, look, that cat's looking at you over... Ben's just showing me a picture of the cat looking at him over her laptop. She wants to kill him.
She's trying to kill you.
But those are cats in general.
She is trying...
No, I'm giving benefit of the doubt here, right?
Are we surprised?
Oh, my gosh. No.
You must scroll left to see my wounds. That's why I gave you the phone.
The M in Meowsers is for murderer, I'm telling you.
Let me help you, my buddy. You don't know how to use an iPhone. You've gone backwards.
No, he said I must scroll left, so I did. Actually, I was supposed to scroll right.
Don't go so far that you end up with the penis pictures.
Yeah, you're going to get dick pics, all kinds of things in the go there.
He's got scratches on his arm.
Yeah, but like, and they're big, right? So again, I'm feeling completely disorientated because I was in a very deep sleep.
But what kind of an animal?
No, dude.
That you feed and you've looked after, you've saved her from the streets.
Ooh,
and
that
then
does not look good.
At a moment she knows you're vulnerable because you're on your own at home with her. It's not like Daniela's at home. As she attacks you, but in your sleep.
Gareth, again.
Jesus, Ben.
It might
the back of your head.
Yeah, so, but this is a strange
turn
thing,
around.
Right?
Let me see the back of your head right now.
No, because I can't talk.
Just quickly.
It's similar to that, Gareth.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
So, but then I'm looking at these wounds, right?
But I mean, this scratch
and it's quite far apart, the scratches, right?
No, yeah. But these scratches run from one side, from the one ear to the other side.
Exactly. They're huge scratches. So I'm thinking, I look at her dainty little paws and I go, how did she manage to do that?
Ben,
and they're like, they're down my arm as well, like down the length of my left bicep here. So they're in strange places. I can understand if she took like one swipe and caught a bit of skin, but these are like, it looks like a pterodactyl has attacked me because they're long scars and they're wide apart. Now, a cat's paw is what, like double your thumb maybe?
It's either your cat or you got a poltergeist.
But the strange thing is, so then I get out and I'm in the bathroom, now the light's on. And there's blood. I'm disoriented. She's now standing outside the bathroom. She looks a bit strange. She then falls asleep suddenly.
What does strange
mean? I don't know. She's just standing there, like looking a bit disheveled herself. I then get in the bath so I can have like a salt water bath and just like
nurse your wounds.
I gather myself. Oh. And then as I get out of the bath, she's then lying next to the bath, looking up at me like, are you okay? Like, she just had this frightened look on her face.
It's more like, oh, no, you're dude. Still alive.
Did you collect evidence from underneath her nails, her claws?
I wanted to go back to sleep. No, I was in the state. But then I was thinking, so if it just doesn't, I mean, if you look at these scars, it does not look like a small cat did this.
You know,
but fuck, it was sore. You know, that disorientation is waking
up to this. There's something very suspicious about this. This is really not, this is not normal. We used to have cats. They never attacked me in my sleep.
And she's never attacked me in my sleep either.
But when you say that you don't think that she did this, that's an even worse story.
Yeah.
I know.
God alone knows what that might have been.
Because the more I look at these wounds, and again, size it up to her paw, it just doesn't add up.
Mm-mm. Wait, does it make sense? So does she sleep on the bed with you?
Yeah.
And you...
And she's pretty good. Like, Daniela tosses and turns a lot more than I do, and she just sort of rolls with it. She doesn't ever fight back or anything.
Demoni.
Oh, Meowsers is possessed, guys. Maybe we need Palesa to...
No, don't bring Palesa because she's already cringing listening to the story because she hates anything
in this situation.
She hates anything that's an animal.
That is frightening.
But then this morning, she's like soft and, you know, her normal self.
This is very, very... Look, I kind of hope it's Meowsers. As my buddy says, if it isn't Meowsers, it's even worse.
Yeah, because then what is it?
Jesus.
But if you look at those scars, I mean, that is like... Those are, again, they're wide apart.
That, those scars look like a grown man could have given those to you using a sharp, like a blade or something.
Yeah, if I was attacked with like a metal garden rake or something.
Please post that on the Instagram. People are going to see it. We've got to have.
Know, it makes me look really like.
I don't
like
care. Ben, it's important because people might have theories.
Mm. I'd love to hear from one of those animal behaviorist people. Maybe they can explain.
Mm. So, yeah, but the back of my head looks like something. I've got some bad things happening in my life right now.
You couldn't have done it to yourself, right?
Definitely not. My nails, as you can see, are.
Yeah, they're
short. Well, they don't really have any.
Jeez.
Well, there's someone who sent me a picture here of a book called How to Tell If Your Cat is Plotting to Kill You.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what, Ben? You go online and you get that immediately.
How's it, Gareth? Earlier this week, you said you guys were not going to talk about politics. Please don't do that. As depressing as it is, you guys are the most credible and detailed source of information. I need this to look intelligent in conversation circles. Ben, after following your Super Rugby calls for 2 weekends, I am fucking second last in my pool.
How is that possible?
To hear about your head, but please give us a month. Monty Friday cheer. Happy Friday.
No. Let's go back. How can it be possible? I got one pick out of 8 wrong last week. The week before that, I think I got 2 wrong out of 8. So obviously, you just, I don't know, doing something different.
Well, maybe he didn't listen to you properly.
Better mean he's making out like I know.
Lindsay says, hey, thanks for the movie premiere, guys. It was awesome. Love you, Sia. Thank you for signing the book, Gareth. And Ben, you missed a good one.
Yeah, sorry.
Did you sneak out in front of everyone or did you try to keep it nondescript?
No, I went and said goodbye to Sia and then asked Palissa why she was late and then I left.
I saw Palissa when I walked out. She was walking in.
It's very particular.
That is very particular. Like, you ask someone why they're late as you're leaving early.
Yeah, it's very peculiar. That's what you call hypocrisy.
Yeah.
See, this is why I get attacked in the middle of the night by mythical beasts.
I am very disturbed by this attack, but at the moment I have no answers. Mm. And I don't think anyone has. Ben, I think it's time. The Pet Sematary movie is becoming a reality. These are some of the messages people are sending in now about the situation. Some very, very scary theories are going to start popping up today. Meowth has had a nightmare and reacted in her sleep. Sorry, Ben. And then Faisal says, sounds like Ben had his own life movie happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, whenever Daniela goes away, this is the moral of the story here. When I'm home alone, who knows? There's this big old flat. It feels weird. Creaky like floorboards.
Uh-oh.
Well, I ended up in a bit of a family turn-up yesterday.
All right.
Yes. Yeah.
Good for you.
Because it was my...
good segue.
It was my brother's graduation ceremony last night at Wits University. And the advocate George Bezos was there in the crowd as a special guest.
Wow. That's a biggie. He's a very, very well-known, very famous, very... Very powerful man in certain circles.
Oh yeah, kind of a big
deal.
He's
old.
Yeah,
you know, but
it was sweet because the chancellor Judge Dikgang Moseneke, you know, when he introduced, he's so cool. When he acknowledged George Bezos's presence, you know, he said, "Oh well, it's good to see you up and standing and walking." You know, like he looked good. He looked good put together.
Yeah,
because you know he's an old man.
That whole generation are just they're dying out now because they're so old. I mean, Ahmed Kathrada's in hospital. I've heard that he's getting better, but. Desmond Tutu, you know, you don't hear much of him because he's an old man now and you don't expect to. And then, you know, George Bezos.
Yeah, they're all old.
Yeah. I mean, Dikgang Moseneke was at one stage the youngest of all the prisoners in Robben Island.
Jeez, wasn't he like 15 years old when he went into prison?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Mogoeng. I never thought I'd say that when he was elected, but... We did miss out on the best Chief Justice we never had with Dikgang Moseneke.
Yeah.
Really, that man is just he's a...
So how did it go from celebration to...
No, because then after the graduation ceremony, then, you know, we went out for celebratory dinner vibes.
Nice. Okay.
It was nice. I mean, we were there quite late. The parentals are in town. So yes. It was cool. It was a nice family affair.
On a scale of 1 to Jersey Shore, where did we get up to?
We are not wretched.
No.
You never know.
What are you kidding? She's with her parents. What kind of family do you have?
We don't know.
Get trashed with your parents. You were listening to Sam Cowan too much the other morning.
No, it was good, wholesome, clean fun.
I'll bet. Just only because I know about what you said your dad is like. I think my Bali's going to suddenly... get her tits out in front of her dad.
Can you imagine?
Listen, in case you missed it, on Wednesday we had Sam Cowan in here as our guest, and she told, I think, the most incredible, honest, and detailed story about alcoholism. I'm not putting a dampener on anyone's weekend plans here. I'm just telling you, you might want to listen to that. Because you and I and everybody that you know at some point looks at themselves and goes, am I just a little bit more than, you know, am I indulging a little too much? Mm. And you might want to listen to this, because she was so frank and honest about it that I can't remember a time where anybody's spoken about, you know, that one glass and hiding the bottles around the house and promising people that you'll stop drinking.
It was similar to PJ Powers' story, actually, when you think about that. Yeah.
Which was also, by the way, harrowing. She found it. PJ Powers admitted, and that interview is also available on cliffcentral.com, when she was in here, she told us that she was spraying hairspray into her mouth because it contained alcohol. Mm-hmm. She was so addicted.
Mm. Man.
So look, I don't want to spoil your weekend. If you're going to be ratchet, you go ahead. But just take a listen to those, because it might give you a little perspective, just in case you're slightly out of control. You don't want to be there. You want to have as much fun as possible without having to be out of control. Time for us to check in on the news. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. I love these guys. They're back for another couple of months here on cliffcentral.com. Let's give them a round of applause. Yay. Big supporters of ours. And I love, love, love any client who believes in us the way that we believe in them. And really, I eat at Colcacchio's. I love what they do. And it's just so cool when I can talk about them without having to have a scripted live read in front of me. I go to that restaurant, wherever it is, and there are lots of them all over the country. And I know anything I order on the menu is going to please me. I went especially last time I was in Durban to a Colcacchio's restaurant. There were a whole bunch of options. I went there and I thought, you know what? These guys are clients of ours. They're sponsors of our news. And I didn't even think twice about going there to eat, because they make the best food. They really do. You never walk out of there feeling heavy or fat. And let me tell you, pizza, it can be tricky. You can eat pizza and sometimes and you have grief afterwards because you think, oh my God, I'm going to be fat. Not them. You can get all those gluten-free, they've got that cauliflower-based one, the vegan banting option, friendly. The banting friend. These guys take care of all of that stuff.
And most importantly, they do it right. I've been to some places where you get the cauliflower base and it's just drippy. It's a bit saggy, but these guys get it right every time.
Duh. Are you sure you're describing pizza?
Yeah, maybe saggy. Drippy wasn't the best word.
All right, it is time for the news. Instruments for this morning's news.
Sure. That sure. Was
Friday special.
Felt like a bit of a symphony. Thank you for that.
Felt like a cacophony.
The late actor Joe Mafela's memorial service was held yesterday afternoon. Unfortunately, with a bit of scandal attached to it.
Oh, I saw something about this.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell me the story.
Well, it all began when actor Mangaliso Ngema took to Facebook to share a bit of information with his followers. Mm. He posted, "We visited the Joe Mafela home last night to pay our respects. I was shocked to learn that Grace Bible Church wanted a fee of 89,000 rand for the memorial." That is where the scandal began, because then obviously then everybody needs to jump on board to, you know, discuss on whether or not it's okay for Grace Bible Church to want to charge that much, or whether it's just completely ridiculous. So when the media reached out to the Mafela family as well as to Grace Bible Church, both camps had very little to say. You know, saying that they wanted to distance themselves from the situation entirely. Apparently, the church then offered them a 10,000 rand discount, but the family refused it. And so they decided to then hold the memorial at the Joburg Theatre instead, which is where it took place yesterday.
Well, good. I hate this when I hear about people in their grief being taken advantage of.
Is this what it is? Because, you know, some people were saying on the other side, well, you know, they are a church and they are a business. And
no, they're not. They shouldn't be. No, no, no. Church is meant to dispense charity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you expect the priest to live, but he's not meant to have jets and fancy suits. And that stuff is bullshit. That is all bullshit. And anyone who thinks that that's the way it should be should get the hell out of that church, because they're going to rip you off. Let me tell you, I spoke to Jesus last night.
Okay.
I spoke to Jesus, and he said to me that you should not be given more than 10% of anything to the church. The church is the house of the Lord. Right. It is not the house of riches.
Well,
hallelujah.
And the devil will come from hell and stick red hot pokers up your ass if you try to rip off the people in your church.
This is a different kind of pastor.
Yeah, I don't know that part of the Bible.
He will unleash torrents of red hot fury and anger against a man or a woman who tries to turn his church into a bank.
Preach, preach.
Someone.
I'm sweating here.
Catch the spirit, brother.
Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you go to a church and they talk about money more than they talk about your soul, they are not interested in redemption. They are interested in interest rates. Step aside. Don't be taken down by these lies, these deceitful lies. I tell you, I feel the spirit of the Lord here, because we are preaching the truth. We are not speaking about money. Money is the devil's work.
So,
what kind of people? Oh,
so
drives me mad. What kind of people take advantage of you in your moment of grief? It's just, this is a family. And forget about the family for a second. This is a nation who loved this man. Mm. What do these guys see? They see an opportunity for profit. Disgraceful.
So the church issued a statement explaining the way that they operate, Gareth. Apparently, they say that...
Show us your balance sheet, you motherfuckers.
Ooh, they say that members are not charged a fee. However, the public have to pay for overheads if they're booking for a funeral or a memorial service. They say the public has often requested the use of the facilities for memorials and funerals. As a church, we only allow them the utilization of the premises when they are available. They are required to pay for the overheads, which include audiovisual equipment and operators. 89,000 rand. Yeah.
If I were a remorseless, greedy son of a bitch, I wouldn't even charge that kind of money. Don't tell me you need all that stuff. And look at how the family went to the Market Theater. It's more like his church anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is an actor. It's a person of the arts. Good for his family for making that decision. You don't need to be ripped off. To pay close to 100,000 rand.
Sure.
I mean, it's bad enough. You have to deal with... And he didn't die in an accident in a Bugatti. The guy was driving in a very normal, humble car.
Ford Figo.
He didn't have a whole lot of cash.
Mm.
This is terrible. This is not good. You know, I got to say, for me, and I know that culturally, I'm never going to understand death the way that a lot of black people in South Africa understand death. Because my opinion is, throw me in the cheapest box, cardboard if you have to, you can find, and just put me at the bottom of a hole, throw the soil over me and forget about it. I'm not aware of what's going on. And you don't show your love to me by buying an expensive coffin and all that stuff. But you know, it breaks my heart when I see poor people who spend their life working to pay for a funeral policy so that when they die one day, they can have some dignity. I would love those people to see dignity in their lives rather than dignity in death. And I'm not saying that's what happened to Job. Job, I found out, you know, rest in peace. Your family made the right decision, in my opinion, because they put you to rest, and they gave a public ceremony in a place that is your spiritual home, the theater. But in the case of so many people in this country, I see funeral parlors in every poor neighborhood.
It's good, big business.
It's big business. And I see poor people. I see old gogos paying for funeral policies. I see kids saving for funeral policies for their grandparents. I see people putting away money and saving money for death. To me, you know what? You deserve to be put into the ground with dignity. You deserve to be said farewell to in a dignified way. I get that completely. But it should not break your bank. There is no one who should be taken advantage of like that by insurance companies or by funeral parlors or by any of those people. Because it's just, to me, it sounds like it's cruel. It's just mean. Isn't it bad enough they've lost someone they love? They now also have to empty their pockets. Oh, man.
You know, justice often comes in here and talks about how the poorest of the poor in our country just, you know, they don't have this dignity that you speak of while they're alive in their lives. You know, it's just something that's not within their reach. And I'm guessing that, you know, as a last ditch effort, that's probably why then when they're sending off their loved ones, they think, well,
like, well, maybe you'll have some dignity in the next life.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. I mean, it's a whole.
Still, it just seems to me like there's a lot of people taking advantage of.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. People, absolutely. Exploitation is the key word there. Now, you talk about, you know, people's standards of living, Gareth. One of the better known actors in our country, Tony Khoroch, in fact, one of the veteran actors. So he took the opportunity at the memorial service to lambaste the SABC as well as government over the exploitation of actors in this country. Remember, we also spoke to Khubi after she won her SAFTA, and she herself told you about how badly actors in this country are treated. Khoroche said, even though Dr. Joe Mafela did not escape exploitation, it is encouraging to see how he rose above it. He said to the SABC spokesperson, Kaiser Khanyago, I hope the SABC will pay out artists their royalties. So he just...
I also think that's kind of cheap too, because he's really speaking for himself. Like, Joe Mafela's gone, and now he's using this as an opportunity to grandstand so he can get some cash for being an actor. Hey, you chose to be an actor, dude. You know, you could have gone into some other profession and maybe made some money. Acting is not, in this country, you don't get rich off acting. Nobody does. Maybe Sophie Ndaba did. Nobody else gets rich out of acting.
I think she got rich out of her businesses, actually.
Probably, right?
She probably made more money there.
Yeah, well. Don't use someone. I hate the way people use other people's funerals to talk about their own problems. And I don't get me wrong. You know, Tony Khoroche, he's also a good guy. I think it's inappropriate. Like, you're at someone's funeral. Talk about the family. Talk about him. Like, oh, we actors, we don't get enough cash. How crass.
All right. And then I don't know what your plans are for this weekend, but Helen Ziller is going to be facing a disciplinary hearing come Saturday. And apparently her days in the DA seem to be numbered. Senior party leaders spoke to Business Day. They said her latest social media comments and subsequent writings about them had placed her on a collision course with the party, and she would face the harshest possible sanction.
Here's what's new.
Expulsion, yeah. Her perceived defiance after her successor, Musi Maimane, censored her for the tweets, pits the current and former leaders against each other. Now, Maimane faces a challenge of sanctioning Helen Ziller, who was a key ally in his rise to power.
Hi, my name is Helen Ziller, and I'm the leader of the Democratic Alliance.
Not anymore.
The DA Federal Executive Chairman, James Self, confirmed that Ziller would meet the party's Federal Legal Commission on Saturday. The chairwoman of the Federal Legal Commission is Glynis Breitenbach. She said that when the investigation is done, they will send a report to the federal executive. They will then take a decision on whether or not she should be charged. If they decide she should be charged, they will send it back to the commission. And then if the commission is given the go-ahead, it will make a finding and recommend a sanction against her.
All right. So in her entire political career, you can maybe fault Helen Ziller for what? One tweet and maybe a couple of comments that are not necessarily the most sensitive things in the world and probably are particularly offensive to a lot of black people, right? That's fair to say. But over, what, 50 years in politics?
Yeah, I mean, I don't follow Helen Ziller on Twitter, so I don't know.
I don't either, but there we go.
I don't know what she tweets most of the time.
This is the most controversial thing she's ever done, is say, well, you know, colonialism had some bad and some good. Imagine, our president fucks up every day, and no one's talking about getting rid of him.
Well, I mean, his people refuse to get rid of him.
That's my point. Like, what? And if the DA did that, you know what they're going to call Musi Maimane if he says we've decided not to fire Helen Ziller. Imagine what the ANC are going to call Musi, a garden boy. They're going to say, you are coconut. You belong to what? Put your madam. You watch what happens. They're going to treat him in the most racist fashion. That if that came from white people, it would be unacceptable. Watch what happens.
Well, they have already treated it that way.
Exactly. They're setting him up.
Since day one, actually.
They're setting him up. Musi cannot do anything but fire Helen Ziller. It's unbelievable. So she's done something stupid. Fine, fair enough. And I'm not going to defend or ally myself with anything Helen Ziller said. I know Ferial Hafaji wrote a really interesting article, which for some people was unpleasant.
Well, she said that Helen Ziller shouldn't be fired.
Yeah, and then Pierre de Vos and a couple of other people, Max Dupreer, and you know, a bunch of those guys who've written some stuff I admire, they said, no, she's got to be fired. I don't have a position on this. All I'm saying is this is putting Musi Maimane in a position where he is actually, like, he is a puppet. He's a puppet of the people who are going to take him down if he doesn't do what they want him to do. Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
It's like they're accusing him of being Helen's puppet. But in doing that, they become his puppet master. The poor man,
yeah.
He cannot win.
He's actually in the toughest position of them all.
Poor Musi Maimane. It's bad enough trying to run a party that's growing and growing and becoming more and more different and diverse.
Growing and changing. I mean, there are probably a ton of things that Musi has to try and manage and control within that party on a daily basis because of all the changes that are happening in it.
We are in government in Cape Town.
All right. Well, look, that's all the news we got for you now because we've got very little time. We've got to get to Ben. We've got to get to sport. We've got to get to Anthea's money. So we'll get more news in at 7 o'clock. Stick around for that. Thank you, Mabs. Here's Ben. Where did we steal that intro from? Didn't it come off some super sport thing or something?
I'm not sure. I think it's one of those generic sport things that some people use. I've seen it on a couple of people's profiles on YouTube.
Lots and lots of messages about you and meowses, but we'll get to those just now. People with theories about how you were attacked. If you want to see what happened, if you want to see the evidence of Ben's attack, terror attack in the middle of the night, you think Westminster was bad. You have no idea.
He's trying to kill you, man.
Yeah, you got to go onto Instagram and follow The Gareth Cliff Show. Okay?
Yep, it's all there.
It's a picture. You can take a look. You tell us what your theory is. All right, Ben, what's going on?
Well, Gareth, to give you a quick wrap-up of the week and weekend stuff to look forward to, it is Formula One time again. That's taking place in Melbourne in Australia, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all the big talk prior to the season was the fact that Ferrari are now fast. Fast, like almost a second faster than anyone, just kicking ass in the pits. And then it came to actual testing today for the first Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you believe it? Mercedes 1-2.
Oh, surprise, surprise. Nothing's changed, right?
Well, yeah, obviously the reckoning comes down to when it's actual race time on Sunday. But there's been so much speculation about the fact that, you know, Ferrari can finally get it together. They're going to have really fast cars. Their drivers are keen and ready. You know, Vettel's going to be the business. And Mercedes is going, well, you know, bring it. They don't have to prove anything to anybody. And throughout the testing, you know, people were speculating maybe they were just testing on higher fuel loads. Because again, they don't need to be faster than anybody. They'll just beat them on the track. So first indication is that Mercedes are pretty much still very much the favorites there. Despite the fact that Lewis Hamilton's playing it down. And it's all that mind games like, you know, oh, we respect this team. They're going to be amazing. And then they say it about everyone else. Lewis Hamilton has asked for more girls in the paddocks.
Really? He's that blatant about it?
Less bloody guys standing around cars. He wants to see more women right now.
Do women like Formula One? Be honest with me. Mubs, would you go and watch a Formula One race?
Well, I could only speak for myself and say I wouldn't. And I don't think most women like Formula One, but I do think a lot of women like Lewis Hamilton or his money.
Right. Yeah, look, chicks, guys, well, anybody.
Different. Okay.
We all like to party and live our best lives, right? Tell you what, you can get some decent Instagram cred by being in the pit paddocks.
Sure.
Whatever they call them with Lewis.
Good point.
So they'll open the door. Hundreds of women will stream in. They won't be that good looking because they're in Australia, but everywhere else in the world, Lewis is keen.
Jeez. Okay. I mean, I don't know, Ben. I don't know. You don't. I mean, why are you doing that? Why you do that?
What? I've got a good firm grasp on geography. Right, speaking of Australia and Australia land and all that kind of stuff, it's Super Rugby again. So these are my picks for the weekend, right? Crusaders Force, got it back to Crusaders, obviously. Mm-hmm. Obviously, at home, they're unbeaten. I know they scraped a few games and they might feel they can take the foot off the gas because they need playing the Force. But this is a good side, and they'll still win this one. Right. Rebels versus the Waratahs. Now, this is a tough one because the Waratahs have been traveling all over and being clapped by everyone. Mm-hmm. Now they take on the Rebels in Melbourne, which is very close to Sydney, so not much of a big travel this week.
My ass is stuck.
But there's so much pressure on these guys right now, right? They were meant to be the good Aussie side. They got a new coach, and he looks shite. He looks like a fish out of water here.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Rebels in this one. Rebels by an arm wrestling 3 or 4 points. Blues versus the Bulls. Bulls finally on tour, and if their home runs anything to go by, don't look for a win here just yet. They could surprise people in patches here and there, but this team really isn't gelled together yet. So Blues by about 10. Brumbies versus Highlanders, also a bloody tough one. This the Bulls game, sorry, tomorrow, 8:45. Sorry, 8:35 SA time. Brumbies Highlanders tomorrow. Highlanders have just had a month of playing New Zealand teams, which is really, really unfair. That's just playing all the best teams straight up. Now they get to play an Aussie team, but the Brumbies are being as plucky as usual. But I reckon the Highlanders, with a bit more space, will be able to work the magic here. Highlanders by 4, 10:45 tomorrow. Sunwolves versus the Stormers. Stormers have sent a weakened side, but it's still a good side, and they shall be able to beat the Sunwolves by about 10-15. Kings versus the Lions. Kings haven't got a hope in hell there. 3:05, the Lions will win by at least 25 points. The Cheetahs versus the Sharks, and this is going to be a great game. 5:15 SA time. The Cheetahs have got some star quality coming back. As to the Sharks, Kerwin Bosch at number 10 for the Sharks. Going to be very interesting to see, because Pat Lambie, of course, is very much like an Alfa Romeo. It all looks good and well, and you think it's worth having, but then it always ultimately disappoints you.
All right.
And then the Jaguars versus the Reds. The Reds have got Quade Cooper suspended because he can't tackle, and Captain James Slipper ruptured an Achilles tendon. So they've got pretty much bugger all going for themselves. And the Jaguars are very, very tough at home. Obviously, with a lot of momentum after the Lions sent a weakened team there.
All right.
And the Cheetahs got smacked. So Jaguars by about 20 at least. You know, if you do want to go and see my in-depth previews, the Bounce of Seattle today, every Thursday onwards, you can get it all right there. In football, there'll be World Cup qualifiers, which ultimately aren't too exciting. So let's skip right past that.
All right.
Athletics.
I like that. You don't waste people's time. You don't give them all the bullshit information they don't need.
Athletics, right? Yesterday, I spoke about how this is like a golden age for the sprinters. Oh, yeah. And we've got so much talent. And wow, it's exciting, right? SA National Champs. How great is this going to be? Considering the fact that we've got all these great sprinters, they're all in good form right now. We've got guys who we know can take on the world's best at the next Olympics, right?
Got it.
SA Champs coming up. You might see a hashtag called Philip Potch. This is very exciting, right? Because this is one of the few times all these top guys get to compete against each other. It doesn't happen, surprisingly, okay? So it's happening at the exact same time as the World Relay Championships in the Bahamas, okay? So put two and two together here. Someone's made a boo-boo. How is it that the South African national champs...
Potchefstroom versus the world champs.
No, world relay champs, guys. Yeah. So it's going to involve four of our runners, essentially.
Okay.
Okay. But they all want to run in the national champs. But now the RSHAT president of Athletics South Africa has this to say about the fact that people must be prioritizing the fact that they can go to this and not the SA champion. Just listen to what the president of Athletics South Africa has to say about the SA champs.
Those athletes that have been identified and that those that will be confirmed will be expected to represent the country, and they will skip the South African championships. Athletics South Africa does not prepare athletes for the South African championships because the South African championships for them is not important. The highest is more important than the South African Championship. Athletes will always want to be where it is easy to excel. The likes of Simbini, he must be prepared to run and take the baiting and chase Bolt at the World Championships, and not to chase somebody at the African, at the South African Championships. The country comes first before the province, before the small competition like this.
So what exactly is he saying?
He's saying it's a small, insignificant competition.
Yeah, he's saying the South African Championships is not important.
Yeah, he said it's completely...
Why must they bother?
Who cares? But now all the athletes are going to Poch. They all want to fill up Poch. They're all getting excited about this because this is the greatest time for SA sprinters right now. And this is one stage where they can all compete and all of South Africa can kind of see them and get the head.
What a douche.
But this dickhead...
And he's in charge of...
Yeah.
Athletics?
Just when you thought that they, yeah, it's all the sports administrators in this country.
Where does he come from?
They're a bunch of dicks.
Who is this guy?
You must follow Junior Steinbank from ENCA. He's got this story and more. He basically got these clips together. It's MJ Steinbank. So he's covering the story and he's just uncovering all of this. It's brilliant. But if you are in Poch or anywhere near, you've got to fill up Poch. And that's 22nd, 24th of April.
But what the fuck are you saying?
They knew about the IAAF relay champs long before this, right? They could have scheduled it in March. But no, these people are so up their own arse. They just, it's so annoying. Anyway, I thought I would bring you that. Jeez. Not enough time for the golf, but WGC, the match play, happening all weekend. Today, big matchup between John Rahm and Sergio Garcia. The winner of that goes through from that particular group. Rory McIlroy is out, but so much to look forward to. I'll be wrapping that all up on Monday.
All right, very good. It's time for Anthea Gardner and a look at your money in the Money Shot.
Why Sibyl, it's such a letter. Anthea Gardner, such a letter. Anthea, why Sibyl, it's such a letter. Omotware hante. Anthea.
And today it is Anthea's birthday.
Happy.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, happy birthday, Anthea.
Thank you very much.
All right, and you've got a theme song for today. Obviously, it's She Works Hard for the Money, but I hope you will be taking some time off to celebrate.
Oh, yes, for sure.
All right. So, what's
whole
happening?
Whole weekend of it.
What's happening?
So, European markets were strong yesterday, but America closed in the red. Investors really this week have been a bit nervous about the vote in the House of Representatives on Trump's health care plan. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. So the vote was supposed to take place yesterday, but has been delayed. And it looks like Trump issued an ultimatum last night saying that the vote has to be done today. And I think the market just doesn't like kind of or is nervous about what's going to happen. And then crude oil prices continue to drop. Yesterday, the EIA, which is the Energy Something Department Administration in the U.S., they released inventory numbers. Stockpiles climbed by almost 5 million barrels last week. So this whole OPEC agreement last year to cut supply seems to be less effective than they were hoping. I mean, it's not great for the Sasol share price. It's fallen from 430 Rand a share to 360 Rand today. Uh-oh. So 430 Rand at the beginning of this year, so in just 3 months. Mm-hmm. But at least it keeps hopes alive for us that we might get a petrol price decrease next month.
Well, let's cross fingers for that. But how would that affect Sasol?
Because oil is there, that's how they generate revenue through oil. They sell oil. So a lower sales price means lower revenue.
Okay, got you.
Mm-hmm. And then our market was a bit of a non-event yesterday, only $1.2 billion traded, and the market closed flat, actually. So the rand is unstoppable again. It's now trading 12.48 against the dollar. And so, of course, the stronger currency is keeping our rand hedge stocks in check. Naspers is now trading at 2,236 rand a share. So just actually going nowhere, quite frankly. And, I mean, partly Tencent's results played a part. The results, I think they were less than spectacular or as spectacular as the market was expecting. It certainly wasn't horrific. I mean, quite a few interesting things out of there. Sales revenue was up 44% year on year, but only 9% quarter on quarter. So kind of a big jump in the year, but not that much in the last 3 months. And then I just want to point out the key features because they really are very interesting, these Tencent results. Online gaming grew by 16%, but mobile gaming revenue was up 51% year on year.
Wow.
And then the online advertising revenues grew 45% year on year, but essentially it was driven by a 77% year on year growth in performance-based ads and only 11% in brand display ads. And the difference between that, obviously, it just means that advertisers are paying for this kind of pay-per-click or commission-based models rather than banner adverts, really. That's what it is. And then the standout performance in the Tencent results, payment and cloud services revenue grew by 289%. They now have 600 million monthly active users on the Tencent mobile payments platform. I think they call it TenPay. So that's 10 times the South African population using TenPay. Like, they're basically our SnapScan. So, I mean, Gareth, if ever you start a business that is dependent on scale, I think you just cannot ignore China for kind of, even if you've got a small percentage of the market, you're looking at huge volumes.
In fact, if you build any kind of business that is scalable, you need to look at China, number one.
Undoubtedly. And then they also reported that Tencent will sell their business Souq, which is it's a United Arab Emirates-based online shopping platform, and they're selling it to Amazon. Neither Souq nor Amazon have responded to inquiries, but I think they're probably in a closed period, so they can't. But there's a lot of speculation that the deal will be done at $1 billion. Naspers owns 36% of the Souq business, which means that they would get $360 million. They would net $360 million approximately.
Wow.
So a nice one there.
Mm.
And then just two more things. De Beers has announced that they bought 50% of De Beers Diamond Jewelers, which used to be held by French luxury group LVMH. They didn't disclose the amount that they paid for it. So they now have full ownership of this retail operation. Diamonds are considered counter-cyclical, so they can be defensive in an economic downturn. So I guess that makes sense for De Beers. And I think for LVMH, it's really just ending this joint venture they did way back when LVMH didn't have their own branded jewelry, which of course they now do in huge quantity. So the LVMH share price has rallied. De Beers, of course, isn't listed. But it is owned by listed company Anglo-American, and their share price, the Anglo-American share price, hasn't really moved. I don't think it is a deal that would move the needle for Anglo anyway.
Okay.
And then lastly, Gareth, I saw something this morning that I think is completely awesome. Yesterday, Kenya did the first sale of government bonds exclusively on mobile phones to retail investors. So what happens traditionally is that Treasury does an auction in South Africa. It's on a Friday morning. So myself, like the asset managers, put in our bids. We go to Treasury. Well, actually, we give it to the banks like RMB or Standard Bank who kind of control this auction. And we will bid for these treasury notes, if you like, or government bonds. And then it'll be issued on the outcome. The government raises money like that. We invest, and they pay us, obviously, an interest rate. Minimum bids normally, I think, are about R1 million, maybe even more. We normally do them in clips of about R5 million. And I think the way Kenya's done it, straight to the retail investors, brilliant. I mean, I'll be watching the results very carefully. I think we should do it in South Africa, like just to be able, because you don't even need a bank account. So the government bonds are supposed to be the safest investment. So the interest rates are slightly lower,
mm-hmm.
Because obviously risk return spectrum. But it's a great way of saving. You do get higher than bank interest rates. And if you could, you don't need a bank account. You can just do it on your mobile phone, buy, I don't know, R1,000 worth of government bonds instead of putting the money in the bank and getting charged bank fees and all sorts.
That sounds like it should be a universal thing.
Exactly. Do you know anyone in Treasury you can put me in touch with?
You know everyone in Treasury. Come on.
I'll try. All right.
All right. Yeah, and let's just not forget that SARS have just announced to everybody that they owe VAT to the tune of some R19 billion.
Oh, I haven't seen that. What's that from?
Reimbursements to people who overpaid their VAT. Their unpaid VAT bill is R19.6 billion.
They could owe me money. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. They've delayed a total of R19.6 billion of VAT refunds to vendors by the end of February 2017. That's not good.
That is incredible. What does that work out per person? I mean, I don't have my calculator in front of me.
Well, you're asking the wrong crowd.
Yeah, please.
So none of you have a calculator there.
We've got calculators, but we don't know how to use them. What are you talking
Anything
about?
Anything with big numbers, Anthea, is too much for our brains.
Right. Mabali's not joking. We're terrible at this. All right. Thanks, Anthea.
Pleasure. Have a good weekend.
You have a good birthday weekend.
Super. Thank you very much.
There we go. Anthea Gardner, everybody, with the money shot. Good morning. It is the weekend, baby.
CliffCentral.com.